Welcome back to another episode of Trigger. This is episode 616, August 5th, 2026. Can't believe we're halfway through summer right now, but I'm Corian Ganimore. With me, as always, Matt Vespa. How's it going, Vespa?
Well, really well.
Feeling a little,
Really well, I say, yeah.
Feeling good after last night's election results, or
yes.
What?
Yes, I thought there were some really interesting races out there. Interesting in a good and bad way. Interesting in the fact that it's increased our chances of holding on to the Senate. It's bad because we have like some fucking terrorist sympathizing piece of shit who thinks that we deserve the 9/11 attacks when in Michigan, gonna take on Mike Rogers in Michigan. So Abdul El Sayed is their guy, you know?
you forgot to call him Dr. Abdul El Sayed.
Oh, doctor. Yeah, but he doesn't have a medical, whatever.
Yeah, he's never, it's like Dr. Jill Biden. Never seen a patient in their damn life. But yeah, doctor. When he's on the media appearance, he's got to be called a doctor, and he's offended if you don't call him that. But yeah, the polls had this one completely wrong. Heading into last night, Michigan's primary, Abdul El Sayed was supposed to win by over 10 points. I think the average was about 12 points. So this is going to be a bloodbath. It's going to be crazy. Yep. Haley Stevens would get destroyed. Well, as it is of this morning, and Decision Desk has called it, AP finally called it, the final results, it's within one percentage point. I think it's 0.97 points is the difference right now. It's super close. McMorrow, who was decided to hang around in the race, she pulled out, but she couldn't get her name off the ballot, ended up getting around 4%. Could have swayed the results of this entire election. So now the Democrats are stuck with this terrorist sympathizer who campaigns with Hassan Piker, who again says America deserved 9/11, and he admires Mao and the million, no one's killed more people in the course of history than Mao and the millions of people he's killed, more than even Hitler did. This guy is a crazy radical, and the left is trying to pretend that they didn't just nominate a terrorist sympathizer named Abdul El Sayed. It's kind of crazy. As you said, it's scary if he gets elected because Michigan is a purple state. It hasn't had a Republican senator since I think the mid-90s. There's a chance this guy gets elected. It's a terrifying prospect that he will, but it opens the door for Republicans and Mike Rogers to actually slam shut any possibility for Democrats to recontrol the Senate. This is shaping up to be a pretty good good battle, pretty good opportunity for Republicans.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a lock. I mean, if we win this race,
Democrats would have to end up winning Ohio and Iowa and Alaska and all these ones that are, Alaska maybe. But I don't think they're winning. I don't think they're going to win Ohio or Iowa or anything like that, even though some Democrats, it's kind of fool's gold for them. They think they have a chance this year. It would have to be an absolute blue wave to carry those seats. So let's see. And at the very least, you saw Chuck Schumer endorse Sayed today and Haley Stevens, all this. These establishment cucks are going to have to get on board with this, which means they're going to have to spend a lot of money in Michigan, which helps us out.
Has Slotkin said anything?
Slotkin has not. And she's had a pretty bad election night. All of the people she endorsed. In one congressional race, they came in third place. She likes to consider herself establishment, moderate, whatever the hell that word means. But somehow that moderate sticks with Slotkin, even though she votes against Trump, 99% of the time. Yeah. They're stuck with him, and they're going to have to pour a shit ton of money into this race because it is by no means a lock. Polymarket, the betting odds, and Kalshi has it. Sayed's still favored. Right now, I think it's like it was last I checked 61-39%. It's not going to stay. The more people learn,
remember that there's some things that they just can't. They're just not factoring in. You know, that's just.
Take a listen. If more voters, first time voters, and people are just starting to pay attention to politics, and again, these are the most in tune electorate who vote actually show up in the primaries. Millions more actually vote in the general. They're going to start learning who this guy actually is. If they tuned in for the first time last night, they'll learn that this El Sayed guy is saying this: if we come through this, inshallah.
So as
Yeah, and also the two biggest minority groups in the state, Jews and Black voters, they do not like this guy.
No.
It goes back to the Bernie Sanders stuff, man. I mean, you know, Black voters derailed Bernie Sanders 16 and 20 because of this. They're not on board with any, you know, crazy wacko commie. So
it's the young white liberal females who actually are embracing this. I don't know. It's their white guilt or whatever.
Well, yeah. I mean, look at, you know, Haley. Haley Stevens lost for a few reasons. I mean, one of them you already mentioned with Mallory McMorrow hanging around. And then, she siphoned off like 61,000 votes. And then, you know, she wasn't able to really run it up in her home county of Oakland. Which is suburbanite and white and everything. So, you know, it's you know, white, wealthy, you know, suburban Democrats are drifting towards communism and wearing crippling suits. And, you know, Jews and Blacks and rural voters are, you know, staying sane. That's going to be a very difficult and very uncomfortable conversation ahead. Because, Corey, I don't know, you remember, man, Democrats used to love to shove the, you know, we own the Black vote all the time. Every election cycle without fail, we own the Black vote. Well, that core constituency, which I assume is a core constituency of the Democrat Party, is saying we don't want this. We don't want a terrorist sympathizing piece of shit who pals around with the likes of Hassan Piker and all that. Mm-hmm. And has, you know, whack job policy initiatives on healthcare and everything. We don't want communism. We don't want socialism. We don't care if you put democratic in front of it. That's just suffering with it. It's the same misery with extra steps. You know, it's like picking. It's like, we all got to commit. It's like, you know, oh, well, I guess I can pick the weapon I can be murdered with. That's right. Democratic socialism. And
totally.
Are they going to be like the way that they were after Biden? You know, the rich, overeducated, white elites in the urban enclaves just dictating everything. Totally. Because that's what happened. Remember, they give the most money right to the party. You don't think that they're not going to want something in return? In return is total control over the agenda and messaging, which has completely disregarded these people. Which is why you have a lot of non-white working class voters drifting Republican.
Totally. And so. And you said it's the white educated, the elite class that are really going on board with this socialist path. It was Brad Todd on CNN last night who said it's important to see that, you know, Michigan is 4% less college educated than the rest of the nation. There are a lot more voters who don't have college educations when compared to the rest of the country. I've also been researching. Michigan is the 15th out of 50 states as far as what percentage of their population is Black. So they really need these Black voters on. And ask James Clyburn, he wouldn't endorse El Sayed. He endorsed Haley Stevens. And he was the kingmaker all the time for Black voters. He's the one who single-handedly got, Joe Biden the nomination from South Carolina back in 2020. So they're not getting on board. I wanted to play a clip from CNN last night, Brad Todd saying that this is a real problem that El Sayed is not registering with uneducated voters.
I remember that 2006 election. I worked a Michigan statewide race in that year. But one thing I can tell you that is different from 2006 is that the Democratic Party is much further left today than it was in 2006. And that's an ace in the hole for Mike Rogers. He's not running against a very big tent Democrat party like you had in 2006. I think also what we're seeing tonight is an education split. You know, Abdul El Sayed is winning places where there are a lot of white college graduates in Grand Rapids, in Ann Arbor, and Haley Stevens is winning Black voters and more downscale blue collar voters, if you look at those counties. Well, Michigan is below average in college education, and the Republican coalition there that Donald Trump successfully put together twice relied on a lot of non-college voters. And so that's why Republicans look forward to the general election and say, you know, Abdul El Sayed, well, what he gets voters that are not toward that swing voter universe. That's the electability argument.
I want to...
And it's going to be real interesting because obviously Michigan is a purple state. Trump carried it twice. He lost it in 2020, quote unquote, lost it. we're going to see what happens this year in the midterms when Donald Trump is not on the ballot, because a lot of these voters only show up when Trump is on the ballot. It's a problem within the Republican Party. We have to figure it out. You know, if you want Donald Trump to be successful, he needs his teammates there to help him and pass his legislation. This is by no means a slam dunk for Michigan to be won by Republicans. We need the voters to actually show up. But there's enthusiasm gaps, perhaps on both sides, with Trump not being on the ballot and then this extremist, the left just nominated. I wanted to play the clip of El-Sayed in his victory speech last night. He said he said this: if we come through this, inshallah. And I don't speak Islam, but I had to Google what it meant. I don't know about you, but it means if God wills it, God willing. And here's how he used that last night. I think it was the first time a candidate has ever invoked inshallah in a victory speech.
So as folks ask, if and when we win this race, how are you going to beat Mike Rogers and their money? I want you to remind them that if we come through this, when we come through this, inshallah.
And the crowd cheers. Inshallah. Yeah. Is that how you pronounce it? Am I doing it right? Inshallah. I don't think this will play well with a lot of voters in Michigan. It will in Dearborn, Michigan. But again, Jews and blacks are a higher voting population in the state of Michigan than Muslims. So that's a big takeaway. I remember he was one of the first candidates to actually proudly campaign with Hassan Piker. He's the one who says America deserved 9/11. He admires Mao and all the millions that he killed. Hassan Piker reacted to last night's victory. Obviously, his guy won. He's upset that Haley Stevens voters aren't just going to welcome him as the new candidate or as their nominee. And he basically says, you better get on board and listen to this audio and tell me if this doesn't motivate Haley Stevens voters to getting on board. Is this what you'd want to hear if you just lost? This is how Hassan Piker addressed it. As my video loads.
Being like Abdul has a fuck ton of work to do mending bridges. Here's the fucking take nuke for you, okay? You are all unbelievably Islamophobic pieces of shit, okay? You literally called the dude a fucking terrorist for months on end and like called him a sexist, misogynist, terrorist, bad candidate, doesn't fake doctor when he has like two fucking degrees. And now you're gonna sit there and be like, well, you know, you really gotta come to me now. Like, what are you talking about? Do you wanna fucking win or not? Lock the fuck in, okay? Lock the fuck in.
Okay, his thoughts are pretty clear on that.
I will say this. I always thought that the woman stuff was kind of weak. You know, it was nowhere near like, you know, Graham Plattner. But no one called him really a fake doctor. It's just that he never practiced medicine. Yeah. He has the degrees, but he's never like, you know, been a doctor. He's not like George Clooney, you know, from ER.
Well, I'll call him a fake doctor.
Ironically, he is a fake doctor. But you know, like, you know, it's just like, dude, like, he has 2 degrees. Like, fine, you can still be retarded and have 2 fucking degrees.
Clearly.
Also, yes, you know what? I'll just say it right now. You know what? There is something to fear. Sorry.
Yeah, there's nothing like winning. There's nothing like winning with grace. I mean,
I want to change religions. You have to die. Yeah. You know, my daughter got raped. Oh, fornication. She has to die. I think those are two. I mean, that's just scratching the surface. Those are some pretty bad ideas, right, Corey? I think it is the motherload of bad ideas. And yeah. Sorry. Make it normalize Islamophobia. That's what I say.
Yeah, totally. I'm cool with that. But if Hassan Piker wants to win the general election, you would think you would welcome Haley Stevens supporters with open arms and say, you know, we welcome you to the campaign. We're on the same team. It sounds like he's pushing him away, and I hope that gets amplified just to get that message out. Mike Rogers responded this morning. He put out a statement reacting to El-Sayed's victory. It was a big, long statement, but this one line that really stood out to me. He said, Abdul doesn't represent a vision for the future. He's leading a movement grounded in ideological fanaticism. His agenda would make our communities less safe and our state less affordable. I spent years hunting terrorists and bringing Osama bin Laden to justice. Never in a million years did I think I would be running against someone who believes America deserved 9/11. I think that's pretty well said. Of course, El Sayed will deny that, yet he still will share a stage with Hassan Piker and keep promoting him and acting like he's a big ally. So lots to come with this election. We'll be following it very closely. A lot of races took place last night across Michigan and Missouri. Even Virginia held their primaries. One race that was really interesting in Michigan's 8th congressional district, Thomas J. Smith is a guy who was running for Congress. He actually suspended his campaign and stopped campaigning because Donald Trump endorsed a guy named Amir Hassan. Well, his name was still on the ballot, and by the time we got to Election Day last night, Thomas J. Smith won. He won. And it's actually pretty... maybe heartwarming. I don't know how to even call this, but there's something to say about a guy named Thomas Smith who beat a guy named Amir Hassan. Like, nobody knew anything about this Thomas Smith guy. He wasn't campaigning. He wasn't spending any money, but the 8th congressional district said, no, we don't want a guy named Amir being our representative. This is a guy who was Muslim. He says he converted to Christianity. I can't say I followed this race extremely close, but pretty interesting that that Amir is not advancing, and Donald Trump actually picked a loser this time. John James won the GOP nomination to become the nominee for governor in Michigan. That's also interesting, and when it comes to Mike Rogers' campaign, maybe John James can get some black voters to vote for him, who may pull the lever for Mike Rogers as well.
Cori Bush is not coming back.
Goodbye, Cori Bush. The media told us she was had a great shot of winning in Missouri. She's one of the original squad members. She came to fame because of the Ferguson race riots, the lie that we were told. She was a complete psychopath when she served for one or two terms. I forget how many terms, but she was defeated by the incumbent who beat her last election cycle, Wesley Bell. So Wesley Bell will be returning to Congress. One race that excites us all here at Town Hall and Salem in general, our colleague, our friend Chris Stegall, he won the nomination in Missouri's 6th congressional district. It was a hard-fought battle. He had some uphill battles to run. But he is going to be a congressman. This is a pretty reliably red district, and he is going to make America so much better. I mean, Vespa, you know him. Personally, too, he's just the nicest guy in the world, and he's strong in his convictions, a great American patriot, great family, and I was really excited to see him.
And we might, if we're staying on the Midwest beat here, it looks like our chances of retaking the Kansas governor's mansion has increased. I believe that state senator Cindy Holscher for the Democrats won. The DNC and the establishment did not want her to win, so that's a good race, because Kansas is a weird state, man. Sometimes, you know, you get some good Republicans, sometimes you get some bad Republicans, sometimes you get like Kathleen Sebelius, who was able to split the Republican opposition and survive for two terms. Out in Washington, the 4th district, a Trump-backed candidate did win, Amanda McKinney, the current Yakima County Commissioner. She's going to advance along with John Dureski, a Democrat, which is really sucky because we could have had two. It was already going to be kind of a safe seat. Oh, sorry, background. This is the seat that was occupied by that Congressman Newhouse, folks. He was an anti-Trump Republican. He voted for impeachment, so he decided to leave. But, it looks like Jared Sessler and State Senator Matt Boenke, I'm butchering his last name, sorry. But they split the GOP vote towards the end there, so now we have a Democrat in there, but they say it's a safe R.
Okay,
it's rural Washington, man, you know, in between Seattle and Spokane, you know, that's pretty Republican there. It just kind of sucks that, you know, because remember, in Washington it's the two top vote getters no matter what.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Which is good because how they do elections out there, Corey. You know, it's all mailing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, people have to mail all their shit in. So, I mean, yeah, they can call races with like 35% in because it'll be forever if they did it the other way.
Yeah, completely insane.
Crowded field too because of that. So,
totally. Other election news, Congressman Chuck Edwards. There's a scandal that broke this week. Real creepball. He was apparently buying.
There was some sexual harassment. We don't need to go into that. It looked bad.
Yeah. I mean,
in the report.
I saw handwritten notes he was sending to his staffers, very completely inappropriate, asking them to go out for dinner or drinks, buying them gifts of purses and guns. An ethics violation was investigation was put into him. He's guilty as sin. I got to throw an allegedly in there. But he's so guilty that he decided to drop out of the race, which is good for Republicans. We need the scumbags out of Congress. This scandal could have tanked his campaign and, put the majority in jeopardy. So he's gone. Goodbye, Chuck Edwards. That's basically what happened across the country, at least the big races last night. The nut job El Said was nominated, and it looks like another nut job may be nominated next week on August 11th. Wisconsin is holding their primaries. This Francesca Hong woman, Democrat socialist, complete nut job, is likely to become the gubernatorial nominee for the Democrats. Will run against Tom Tiffany, the Republican.
I'm just wary that we're focusing on the wrong things there.
Tell me, what are you worried about?
Guys, we had a man with domestic violence allegations, a Nazi tattoo, a graphic social media history. He had an account on an app that was a haven for pedophiles. I'm talking about Graham Plattner. Mm-hmm. And it basically took 15 magazines of 45 to kill this guy. Mm-hmm. Right? Great baggage. It doesn't matter. I think that we need to just focus on what she's going to do, because she comes off as a nice person. That's the problem. You know, the media says, all these terrible things and she's crazy, I cancel Thanksgiving. First, that is kind of funny. Francesca Hong wants to cancel all the holidays. She hates Thanksgiving. She hates 4th of July. She hates her state's too white, this, that, and the other. I mean, I'm not saying that she's not. You know, crazy people can be nice, I guess. I don't know, in this crazy political world.
Right.
But they're going to see and hear all this stuff, and then they're going to get curious, as most people are in this day and age. They're going to meet her, and they're going to see that she's really not that kind of a monster. I mean, she was talking, she was, shooting the shit with hardcore MAGA supporters over there. So, I think that the whole, this is crazy. I mean, within reason, man. If it's like a 9/11 type of stuff, that's different. But the whole, she wants to do this about prisons, and I hate Thanksgiving. I don't know, man. Listen, a guy with a Nazi tattoo almost became a U.S. senator. So I think.
These things.
Democratic base is unhinged, and they're entrenched, and they don't care. They want power, and they don't. I mean, if goddamn it, if it's Nazis and crazy. Asian cooks who hate Thanksgiving, then so be it.
Sure. Wisconsin's one of the whitest states in the country. And here she is on video saying that, she has a half white son. She married some white dude, and she almost feels guilty that her son is half white. And she calls being close to him being in proximity to whiteness. Now, what kind of mother would describe their son like that? And doesn't that represent all the voters who are white who would potentially pull the lever for her? Who am I as a white person in your views? Am I less than? Should I be treated any differently? I think there's political consequences for this type of rhetoric. She hates, like you said, she hates every holiday. She doesn't think that we should celebrate Thanksgiving because we're a bunch of settlers and such. She said she does not enjoy fireworks. What person doesn't enjoy fireworks? So she clearly isn't patriotic. She thinks that tipping in restaurant industries is a sign of white supremacy. Everything is about attacking white people, and what she even said, she tweeted this. She was said an IT bro who was working on our computer remotely changed the background theme to snow and Christmas trees. I feel slightly attacked. These type of messaging are attacking the constituents she wants to represent. And if you're a white person, you apparently have no place for her in Wisconsin. And I think she'll try to do everything she can to make your life hell.
Sure, but there's also a lot of white Democrats who agree with that.
Unfortunately, you're right, but sensible ones.
I'm not saying that you're wrong. I mean, I wish this would be like an easy, like 40-point, you know, win for us in that race. But dude, I mean, everyone's fucking crazy. You know, like it's not similar, but like the whole, you know, I mean, all these fucking white libs want to like trans their kids. Like, how's that not as that's equally abusive? You know, they want to cut off body parts because they think this, that, and the other about gender identity or whatever.
Yeah.
So, listen, we've talked about this often. The party's insane. It's just insane.
Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying in the sense that like politics or in politics, personality oftentimes wins. Nobody could match Donald Trump's personality, lover or hater. AOC's got a personality. So people are clearly gravitating towards her in maybe 2028. And so maybe Francesca Hong is likable in the sense that she's got an interesting personality. I haven't necessarily seen that yet, but let's just take your word for it. Her policies are going to hurt people. She wants to defund and eventually disband police and prisons. That doesn't help Wisconsinites whatsoever. She's kind of
walked back on that though. So there, right there, is where we can attack.
Well, sure, she's getting political blowback, but her first statement is obviously what she actually believes. If she's trying to campaign, she's going to muddle down her rhetoric, but take her at her first word for it. She said she's the only candidate who will meet ICE with the same force that they're meeting with people, the illegal aliens on the street. What does that mean? Is she threatening violence? Obviously, disbanding ICE from your communities does not help Wisconsinites. So voters have to see that this is just insane and going to hurt them at the as residents of their state. So Wisconsin hasn't had a Republican governor since Scott Walker. They've had 8 years of Tony Evers. They are a purple state. They have the chance to go back red. I think nominating Francesca Hong probably gives Republicans the best chance of beating her. A recent poll was just released that Tom Tiffany, the Republican candidate, is beating Francesca Hong 43% to 40. These are important races, and Democrats see in what is supposed to be, you know, call it a blue wave, call it a blue ripple, whatever. History always says that, you know, the opposing party from the president usually wins the midterms. They're doing everything they can to screw this up. They're doing everything they can to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. And we're perfectly okay with that. We just have to follow through and actually beat them. So I think Hong and El Sayed being the nominees give us a chance.
Yeah, and I think that from what I've heard, we're in good position to retake the state legislature in Wisconsin. So let's say worst comes to worst, she wins. We have a Republican legislature to keep her in check. Yeah. Or at least one house. I believe one chamber is going to keep her in check.
Yeah.
I think Amy will have more on that. She's out there.
So. Yeah, if you are looking for more about Francesca Hong, just search Amy Seeger on Town Hall. You're going to see everything about this this candidate. She's just getting dragged right now, and rightfully so. Amy lives in Wisconsin, and she's been following this like a hawk. So, lots of political news, lots to follow. We'll be doing this every week from here on out to Election Day. We are only, 3 months away now? Holy smokes, it's coming up quick. I think 3 months today. Isn't it November 5th? Yikes. All right, well, Vespa, this has been a lot of fun, a lot to cover, and you still got a lot more to cover later today. You can check out townhall.com for all the latest. This has been Triggered, episode 616, and if you enjoyed Triggered and want it uncensored, you can become a Town Hall VIP member at townhallvip.com. You can use promo code FIGHT to receive 60% off your membership of this exclusive club of patriots. Thanks to all of you who have already become VIP members. It means the world to us, and to those who haven't yet, we love you anyway. Don't forget, 5-star ratings and reviews go a long way to helping us beat the big tech algorithm. Vespa, have a great day, and we'll do this next week.
Yeah, man. See you then.